You're tuning in to the Black Hollywood Live Network, featuring news, interviews, and commentary on all things Black Hollywood. Hollywood redefined. From Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is Black Hollywood Live,
The Beat. Featuring the week's roundup and commentary on music news.
Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.
You're listening to Black Hollywood Live.
And now, the host for Black Hollywood Live,
The Beat.
Hey guys, welcome to Black Hollywood Live's The Beat. We are back in studio. It's your boy DJ Jesse Janity. We have so much to talk about. Grammys are coming up. I'm super excited. I'm really excited because I get to share this episode with a dear friend of mine. She is a damn gymnast, a wrestler, a damn actress, a damn performer. She can freestyle, but she really don't want to freestyle today.
I might do it. It is my dear friend,
Thea Trinidad.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me, Jesse.
Thank you for coming, my dear. I'm really excited to talk music with you because when we're not, you know, working, we are talking music.
All the time.
Our love for each other actually came from Nicki Minaj.
It did. That's right.
It was one night. Do you remember the song?
I think it was Super Bass, wasn't it?
It was not Super Bass.
No, what was it?
Come on a Cone.
That's right. You're right.
Nicki Minaj, Come on a Cone. Made us come together.
It's true.
There you go.
Look at Nicki Minaj making friendships, making bonds. Check that out.
Girl power. All right, let's just jump into it. I read an article this past week. It was a little kind of like, I'm going to prove them wrong. And then they actually kind of proved me wrong. So the article basically talks about that there was no, well, his name is Chris Malamphy. Excuse me if I messed that one up. He wrote this article in which basically he said, in 55 years of music history, or actually, we'll just go with the Billboard charts. In 55 years of the Billboard charts,
okay,
this is the first year that there was not one number one black artist.
What?
No artist came out with a number one anything. That's what he's saying.
Okay.
All right? So I'm going to go in to read what he says. Hmm. He said, for the first time this has happened in Billboard charts 55 years of history, it represents a huge contrast to the 10 years ago when a person of color recorded every chart-topping hit.
It's a long time.
Yeah, so he says, okay, yes, there were some, you know, African Americans in the top 10, like, but it wasn't their song. So, meaning Rihanna on Eminem's Monster, but it was Eminem's song.
Understood.
T.I. and Pharrell, but they were on Robin Thicke's song.
Okay.
So I was like, hold up.
Back up a second.
When did you write this? Because last time I checked, I thought J. Cole hit number one.
That's true. I love J. Cole.
Jay-Z hit number one on the Billboard 200. Album wise. So I don't know if this guy's saying singles or albums. I needed to call him out because it's just like, were you sleeping the end of the year when Beyonce dropped a random album and it was number one within 8 hours?
Yeah, that was insane.
So Christopher Malamphy, get your damn life. I don't know what you're talking about. He says, this is what he says. Music fans are playing out a, version of Stephen Colbert's joke about not seeing color. Yet somehow, when the data is compiled about what we're all buying and streaming, the Timberlakes and the Mathers and Macklemores keep winding up atop the stack ahead of the Miguels and the J. Coles. Yeah. Got me up all night. Got me singing this love song. I mean, what? That's a classic to me. I'm not going to be saying $20 in my pocket in 10 years from now.
No.
Not happening.
No, so you need to get your facts straight.
You know, Justin Timberlake, I consider Justin Timberlake half black anyway.
I do
so.
Too. He's like a reverse Oreo.
Right. There you go.
Yeah.
So, Christopher, again, get your damn life.
What is he even talking about?
Right. I mean, Jay-Z's Magna Carta on July 16th went number one on the Billboard 200.
Hello.
Setting, he sold 528,000 copies in the first week. That's the second largest sales frame of the year. Justin Timberlake's was number one with 968, and Beyonce said, bye, Jay-Z. So, yeah, okay, Justin didn't have the number one album of the year.
She said, you could be the king, but watch the queen conquer. Hey. That's another Nicki, man.
Jay-Z extends his record for the most number one albums among solo acts. He's the second among all artists to the Beatles, who have 19.
That's pretty amazing.
Go Jay-Z.
Go Jay-Z.
So, speaking of number one and all that, Yeezus has finally gone platinum.
Oh,
it's about
Yeezus.
Damn time.
Can you look at that?
Okay, well, before we get into Yeezus, I like to, this has been just the conversation of the year whenever I have a guest in. I just want to know what people think of Yeezus. Because I loved it. I think what it has done for hip-hop is something amazing. I think it's on the level of Tupac-esque. I think, now, because let me say, whenever I say something, people take
people
it to
jump on you.
They're like, wait, Kanye is not Tupac, and no one
Hold
ever
on a
said
minute,
that.
Kanye.
No one ever said that. However, Tupac was doing things that other artists wasn't doing.
True.
And I feel like Kanye West saw that lane and said, hey, I'm gonna be that person.
I can see that.
What did you think of the Yeezus album?
You know what? I would say it's pretty amazing. It is. I'll give him credit where it's due. I always do that, despite what I may think about them personally, you know, and how they carry themselves either in interviews or whatever. You can't help the fact that he's just amazing, and he does produce just creative music just to the point where people will say this is different. Like you said, like Tupac, it's different. It's something that's going to stand out for a lifetime. Mm-hmm. You know, people are going to remember this album for sure.
And, you know, it's funny because it's people like him and Drake, I feel like, who have come in the game and really changed hip-hop. Like, look at Jay-Z. Okay, yeah, Magna Carta was a great album, but it's, and, you know, I can't hate on someone for being consistent.
True.
Because all of Jay-Z's albums are very consistent.
Even it ain't like, gonna retire.
It ain't like Jay-Z's coming out with, like, some new sound, and we're all like, oh, shit, you heard what Jay-Z just dropped? Damn! Like, no one's saying that.
No.
The album's awesome. Love it, pump it, jam it. Mm-hmm. But Kanye West, it's like, you changed, you have given a certain new breed of rappers a chance. And I feel like Drake has done the same thing. I feel like you look at Jhené Aiko,
yes.
She would have never have come back into the game. The bitch has been around since B2K.
Yeah, that's true.
Trying to come out.
Yeah.
Her sound couldn't have happened without Drake opening the door.
It kind of reminds me, like, that just light, angelic, you know, type
Aaliyah-esque.
Kind of set. Aaliyah, yes, very, very Aaliyah.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, shit, if she was around today, personally, I don't think there'd be, and I've told you this before.
Beyonce?
There'd be no such thing as a Ciara. There'd be no such thing, maybe, as a, I mean, Rihanna, possibly, because she's different.
See,
but
I have a problem when people say that about Ciara, because my thing about
Ciara,
I like Ciara, because I don't think there's any artist out there that does what Ciara does.
What does she do?
She's a down, she is relatable to the down south, the crunk girls. She'll get down there, she'll pop a little booty, she'll be like, around here we're at slow.
I'd rather watch Beyonce do that.
But Beyonce can't do what Ciara does.
Really?
At all.
Mm.
Beyonce's a good performer.
Yeah.
But she's not a Janet Jackson. She ain't doing choreography. Like,
yeah, true.
She ain't Britney Spears. You know what I mean? Like, she's a different type. She's a Tina Turner. She's going to be on stage like, we will keep on turning. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. I guess so.
Ciara, to me, delivers something different. Now, I'm not saying Ciara's better than Aaliyah. Aaliyah's better than Ciara. I think they're two totally different girls. I think swag-wise, I don't think Ciara's trying to copy Aaliyah. I think that's just the Southern. That's how Southern girls dress. I don't know. I just. Now, see, for me, I don't think Aaliyah would still be doing music if she was alive right now.
I do. I think she did, you know, it was a nice transfer into acting. I like the fact that she did. I mean, Romeo Must Die, Queen of the Damned is one of my favorite movies ever. But I still think that her first love is music, you know?
Okay, true that. True that. So the biggest conversation is that if Aaliyah was alive, the game would be changed, and we wouldn't would Beyonce have been able to cross over to be Beyonce if Aaliyah was alive?
I don't know, to be honest. I think that Beyonce and Aaliyah are two completely different sounds. When it comes to Ciara and Aaliyah, Ciara is similar because she does, you know, it's a lighter sound. Beyonce can belt it.
So would you say Aaliyah and Janet Jackson are in the same?
Yeah, I would.
I would give that too, actually.
Yeah, and Aaliyah has said it many times that Janet Jackson was one of her biggest inspirations, you know, so I can, when you look at your inspirations, you always pick a little piece of them. So I do believe that Aaliyah did pick a little bit from
Janet. And it's funny we bring up Janet Jackson because I just read another article. This isn't really in the topics, but Hey, bye, Kanye. They basically came out and said that Janet Jackson paved the way for Beyonce. Without Janet Jackson, there would be no Beyonce. I don't know about that. I think with certain things, marketing-wise, sure. I agree with that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Music-wise, though, I see Beyonce more as a Tina Turner than a Janet Jackson.
Agreed.
Britney, to me, is more of a Janet Jackson, where it's the choreography, it's the sex, it's the sell.
Sure.
Beyonce's kind of like the powerhouse of... who would you compare Beyonce to?
Toni Braxton type of, like, just strong sound, you
performer.
Know?
Performer.
Performer-wise, I don't know. Beyonce, I mean, after watching...
The Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl, like, I mean, my God.
Beyonce is Beyonce.
She is Beyonce. Going back to Kanye, like you said, I think that this is a really strong album and definitely changed the game for everybody, you know? And same with Drake. I agree. You know, I saw him on Degrassi. I started watching him on Degrassi, you know? And... it's crazy to see where, you know, you can really transfer and where you can go to, mm-hmm. you know?
And the sound that he brought to music. You look at Degrassi and you'd be like, he really did that. He did that. Started from the bottom, now you're here. You're right. Mm-hmm.
Started from the bottom in my wheelchair.
All right, so speaking of Beyonce and Jay-Z and all this business, the Grammys are coming up next week. And there's a bunch of rumors spreading around that Jay-Z and Beyonce... might be opening up the show.
Think so.
So it's a source very close to Control Magazine that comes out and claims that they found out that Beyonce and Jay-Z are going to be opening the show. They're trying to keep it tight-lipped. And the source is apparently close to Jay-Z and Beyonce. The opening act has not been confirmed yet, so are they going to try and surprise us? Mm-hmm. Are we going to get a Drunken Love performance?
That would be hot.
I'm wondering what it's going to be. I feel like...
Little Blue Ivy Carter coming out and just popping it.
We haven't seen a televised performance of Beyonce. I mean, really, what, since the Super Bowl? Kind of. Maybe there was something thrown in between there.
I don't know.
But...
it wasn't as big.
Yeah, this would be, I mean, it's the Grammys, you mm-hmm. know, she didn't do the BET Awards, she didn't do, like, none of the other little award shows. The Grammys.
Yeah.
This would be the spot for them. And
absolutely.
I would love that. In Drunken Love, you know, we would be like, surfboard, surfboard, you know, yeah. that wood, grinding on, right
hell
up there.
Yeah. It was a very, honestly, I told you this, it's a very Rihanna song in a way. Like, her look, she looked like Rihanna in that music video, but.
A lot of them, yeah.
But she did it better, and my God, look, she's Beyonce. Look at her, like
she is Beyonce.
She is Beyonce. There's no one higher, honestly.
Beyonce is queen.
She is queen bee.
So without the rumors, so that's the rumor that's going on. But set to perform, we have.
Oh, I'm excited for this.
Taylor Swift, which I feel like that bitch just performs at every award show. It's like Here's Taylor Swift's gonna perform.
Did you just see my face? I was like, okay.
Macklemore and Ryan Lewis. How do you feel about them? I feel like they're the new age Eminem, but I'm just not that into them.
I agree. I don't think there's a better way to put that, actually.
I like certain songs that they do, but I wouldn't purchase an album.
No.
I'll purchase the singles.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's two that I like. But I don't know. There's just something that won't let me fully connect to them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's the sound or what it is.
I'm not quite sure. And the thing is, when it came to, like you said, someone like Eminem, you, even if you weren't a white rapper who came up in the trailer parks, you could still find something to relate to him about, you know? Mm. And you still were invested in him. And I think he just had a strong power to connect to people, you know?
And even though he did the campy stuff, there was a grit to it. Like when Ryan McElmore does the campy stuff, it's like... okay. This is, in 2013, this doesn't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, hey, it's working for everybody else because these guys are all over the place.
That's good.
Kendrick Lamar is performing.
Oh, I love Kendrick. Mm.
Robin Thicke is performing.
That's good.
It says Robin Thicke and Katy Perry, so that would kind of be interesting to see them do something together. Katy Perry's going to perform. That should be a fun little performance.
For all the kids, all the children.
And then we'll get Sarah Bareilles. We'll sing with Carole King. So that should be a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And Stevie Wonder will perform.
Holy snap, look at that.
Daft Punk.
Sweet.
Oh, no, excuse me. Stevie Wonder, Daft Punk, Nile Rodgers, and Fro will all perform together.
What?
That's going to be
bomb. That's going to be bomb.
And y'all get Beyonce and Jay-Z to open up. Y'all might have had the best show of the year.
There you go. And honestly, like, I'm really looking forward to Kendrick. I love him. Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
they'll be like, be Oscars who? Golden Globes who? We had Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Yeah, bitch.
Well, let's talk about some of the nominations that they had there. Album of the Year. I'm going to just name some off. You tell me who you want to win.
Okay.
Album of the Year, Sarah Bareilles, The Bellest Unrest. Daft Punk, Random Access Memories. Kendrick Lamar, Good Kid. Macklemore and Ryan Lewis, The Heist, or Taylor Swift, Red.
That's obviously got to be Kendrick, to be honest. And if you look at the album, it's just, it's like a movie. It's like listening to a movie.
I think it's set up for him to win that.
Yeah. But it's perfect.
Or Taylor Swift.
But, you know, she's got a lot of fans, too, especially when it comes to, you know, she's reaching out to the young kids. And that's, you know, when you bring kids in, you bring the parents in, and that's just more money for you.
And white middle America.
Yes. You really want to go there, yeah.
In other words, money. All right, record of the year. Get Lucky by Daft Punk. Radioactive by Imagine Dragons. Royals by Lorde. Locked Out of Heaven by Bruno Mars. Or Blurred Lines.
Blurred Lines. I like that song. I do. You can't help but get down to it.
That all right. I'm with you on that. Let's see. Let's get into R&B and all that business. Best R&B... Oh, Best Urban Contemporary Album. Tamar Braxton, Love and War. Fantasia, Side Effects of You. Rihanna, Unapologetic. Or Mack Wilde's New York, A Love Story.
Rihanna. I like my Riri.
Tamar did it with this album. I'll give her that, but you can't. That is set up for it. They just wanted Rihanna to get a Grammy this year.
Yeah.
Come on. let's go to Best R&B Song. No, not Best R&B Song. I want to get to the Kanye one. Here we go. Best Rap Song.
Okay.
Effin' Problems, A$AP Rocky.
I like that song.
Holy Grail, Jay-Z. Kanye West, New Slaves. Started From the Bottom, Drake. Or Thrift Shop, Macklemore. Best rap song.
I'm going to say the A$AP Rocky song.
Fucking Problems?
Yes. Because it's got such a great collabo of everybody in it, you know? I think it's really good.
It does. And, you know, the thing is, I'm going to say Holy Grail as a DJ because whenever I play Holy Grail in the club.
That's true.
You can turn the song. I mean, it could be at the beginning of the night, the end of the night. You could just, there's that part where you could be like, turn the music down and everyone's in there. Holy Grail! And they'd be acting like they're in the music video. It's like...
I can see that. I can see that.
But
for
fucking
sure.
Problems. I mean, you know, you get the ratchets up against the wall. The ratchets, like, I love bad bitches. That's my problem. You know. So all right, I could see either of those winning. Sorry, Kanye. I really don't want Thrift Shop to win.
I don't either.
I just feel like I'm scared for that one. I'm scared.
And you know what? That's reached a lot of people.
So. All right. So last one. We're gonna do this. Best Rap Album. Drake. Nothing Was the Same. Jay-Z. Magna Carta. Kendrick Lamar, Good Kid, Macklemore, The Heist, or Yeezus by Kanye West. That's
Whoa,
a good category.
That's hard. Oh, my God.
Drake, Jay-Z, Kendrick. I'm not even saying that is blasphemous. Yeah. Or Kanye West.
Ooh. I might have to say Yeezus.
Go with Yeezus?
Mm-hmm. I might have to say
I might have to say that too.
Yeah.
I really hope y'all give it to him. Because all the other ones, they're all great and amazing, but none really stand out like that.
No. And that's another thing. Like, Kendrick, I love the album. I do. But he's also nominated for something else. It's like, you get your Grammy there. But Yeezus really does deserve that.
Yep.
He really does. So.
They're probably like, well, we don't even want him at the awards show because who knows what the hell he's going to do.
He's going to interrupt Taylor Swift again. Right, he's going to be doing stuff.
We can't be doing that. No. All right. So before we get into some other stuff, I want to play a video. You know Childish Gambino?
Yes, I do.
Love him. Mm-hmm. He dropped his new album because of the internet, and he released a new video called The Worst Guys with one of my favorite rappers, Chance the Rapper. And here's a clip.
All she needed was some.
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 All she needed was some. All she needed was some.
Had a Clippers game on the court side. Watch a nigga shoot like a 4-5. They mad at me too. I got more fire.
Why these bitches see you? Go home, Roger.
Go home, Roger.
See into the mirror in my bed, I'm a smart guy. I ain't fucking with you niggas like apartheid. Nah. Hits on my list, check my archive. I'm something so immaculate, instead of asking what's happening, rather blast a Jackson 5 in the back of an Acura, acting blacker than the Bernie Mac, two Charlie Murphys and Akon. The girls that you brought, man, where are they from? Where are they from? We were playing PlayStation. Why you standing there, say song? Girl, say song. No, this ain't a vacation. This is my house, my house. All you need is some.
So that's Childish Gambino featuring Chance the Rapper, The Worst Guys. I love it. I love the album. Yeah. Sometimes on the album it gets a little weird, I'm not even gonna lie. There are times where I'm just like, I have to be really in the mood for it.
Sure.
But if I'm like not in the mood for it, it's like, whoa, where did we go? But that's that song you can't. He hasn't saw the song we're gonna get into later called World Star.
That's
obsessed.
Awesome. But I like the beat. It's just, it's catchy. Chill. Nice, fun video too.
Yeah, beachy. It seemed like, hey, I wanna be hanging out with them.
Right?
I want to go. I don't even want to go surfing. I actually would never go surfing, but that makes me want to go surfing.
I agree.
Looks safe.
Mm-hmm. I'll sit on the car and just go like this.
There you go.
There you go.
You'd be like, all I needed was some.
All I needed was some.
So Miss Thea Trinidad, let's talk about you.
Oh no.
Boom, boom, boom. So you're in California.
Yes.
Well, tell a little bit about yourself. You're from New York.
I am. I'm from Queens, New York.
Queens, New York.
Like now, my girl Nikki.
That breeds a certain kind of girl.
It does. You know? Yeah.
So if you were to describe yourself in three words, what would they be?
You know what, though? I'm not the normal type of Queens girl, though.
You're not?
No.
You get a little bit of it.
Well, when I get mad, it comes out.
But for the most part, you're pretty chill.
I'm pretty
you're
chill.
You're pretty consistent and chill.
Yeah.
But you do have Queens to you.
I do, especially when it comes to something that I really want in life, whether that's, you know, I'm very goal oriented. So once I have my goal point, I have to go for it. I'm driven, and that's everybody in Queens who has a goal. I swear, whether it's from 50 to Nikki, everybody, they have a certain way of going about things, and it's just go.
And that's one of my favorite things about you. So let's start with wrestling. All right. Okay. Wrestling. You had this dream, this goal of wanting to get into this sport. I mean, you're a beautiful female. Where did this come from?
Well, and it's funny that you say that because most people will be like, oh my God, you're so small. And so why would you want to mess up your face? It was in the family. My dad was a wrestler in high school, and we have his trophy still in my attic. My uncle was a pro wrestler in Puerto Rico. He wrestled with Bruno Sammartino, and that's actually when he stopped, is when he broke his nose by Bruno. So,
sounds like a good point.
Yeah. I think it was time for him, though. And they just always wanted to share that with me, and that was something that was such a strong bond between my dad and I. And his dream was to become a WWE wrestler. Like, that was his dream. And I was like, you know, going to these events with you, like, I want to do that too. Like, I want that to be mine. And then
did you have a dream before that? Was it like you wanted to get into acting, modeling, or anything before that? Or
no, I was such a tomboy. I never did ballet or any of like the girly little things. I was always playing baseball or swimming or, you know, practicing wrestling moves with my dad. And I mean, that's how I learned how to put on a proper headlock when I was like 7, you know. So he, you know, but he was busy with, you know, multiple jobs, his family. He just couldn't do it. So he passed away on September 11, 2001 in the terrorist attacks. And he worked for Cantor Fitzgerald on the 103rd floor. Mm. And when he passed away, it was something that after like the denial and the depression that I went through for years, I had to say, okay, what was it that really connected my dad and I that's going to help me through this? And it was wrestling. So I said, you know what? I'm going to do this for me, and I'm going to do it for my dad and see what comes out of it. And
in that moment, before we continue, in that moment, was there any music that kind of tied to your life at that point with you and your dad?
Always. He was a very big music fan, too. So when it came to, but he was into funny songs, too. You remember that boom, 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 no, let me hear you say it way up?
Obsessed, okay. Jock jams, yeah.
That was his song. Like, huh? That was it. And, you know, he loved Tupac. My brother loves Tupac. Biggie. I mean, how could you not?
Well, it's New York.
So. Exactly. So that was really big with us, especially Biggie. Like, my whole family, huge Biggie fans. But Tupac was more of, like, the lyrical genius that we all love to read and just listen to and get into. But we always, oh, and we listened to a lot of songs when we were training. It was training to my
so
dad.
What were some pump up songs that you guys had?
Boom boom boom. Yes, it was stuff like that, or just Biggie Juicy was one of our favorites too. So
did you hear in Brooklyn they wanted to name a street at Christopher Wallace Way, and
what
a committee came to basically rebuke the name, in the sense of they said he was fat, he was a drug dealer, he shouldn't be promoted as a street
he
name.
Was so much more than that.
Thank you.
So much more than that. I mean, of course, if you want to look at the typical what's bad about a person to not give them something that they deserve, yeah, of course, we'll point
that out. And my thing
out.
Is who's saying this? Because you're probably a
you're probably
old,
just as
wrinkly,
fat
PTA mom somewhere. Mm. Like, sit down, girl.
Yes.
And you're probably doing your own drugs. You're probably selling damn Xanax or something like that.
Exactly. You know, you never know what goes behind closed doors. And right. People who usually speak up like that are the ones who are doing wrong. Mm. So, I could see that.
Okay, so...
That'd be awesome, though.
You guys had your pump-up music, and now your father's passed, and what, you know, you wanted to embody this wrestler.
Yeah.
And so, where has that kind of brought you to today?
Well, when I was 17, I enrolled in a wrestling school in Long Island, and I started training around with a lot of the local wrestlers. Amazing Red is my cousin, and he's also a wrestler. He worked for TNA, and I met Tommy Dreamer at 19... This was right after my first WWE tryout. And I met him at 19. He was like, hey, like, I like your look. You have great potential, and I'd like to get you set up with TNA. And I had a tryout January something. It was like January something 2011. And I got signed that night to TNA Impact Wrestling. So that's where it all started.
Now, okay, you go into wrestling. Was there a kind of thought behind you? You know, like, I want to be different. I want to stand out. What's your character going to be going into wrestling? How did you kind of develop that?
Well, it's funny because I didn't exactly have any say in what my character was, but it was very fun to play because it was something that we kind of came up with together. They gave me the standard, okay, I got an email saying, okay, your name is Rosita because it rhymes with your cousin, Sarita, and you have to have a rose on your gear, and that's basically it. And I was like, okay, so what else? Oh, by the way, you're Mexican now. I was like, oh, okay, cool. So one day we were doing a promo backstage, and I just felt like being goofy that day, and I had really big earrings on. So this girl, Velvet Sky, was yelling at me. So I said, oh, no, hell no. I'm about to take my earrings off. And I was getting very Rosie Perez. And when we cut, I was like, all right, guys, I was just kidding. And they're like, no, we're going to keep that. That's going to be your character now. And I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. They said, yeah, you're from Queens, right? Just be ghetto. And I was like, oh, great.
Do the ghetto thing again.
Do the ghetto thing. You can do it. It's all good.
So, okay, you're wrestling now, and then, you know, I mean, I'm on Netflix, and I'm scrolling through, and I see Miss Thea Trinidad. How did the acting come about?
That's another Tommy Dreamer thing. Really? Yeah, he's amazing. I call him my wrestling
Explain
dad.
Who Tommy Dreamer is to everyone who does not know
Tommy Dreamer is the hardcore legend of ECW, and he was with WWE as well, and he's just an amazing person inside and out, but he's an excellent brain for the wrestling business. And anybody who knows anything about wrestling, you know Tommy Dreamer, because you know he was the go-to guy. He was the one who always knew what's up, what was going to make money, and was going to help you overall. Mm-hmm. And whether my matches were good or bad, that's another thing I respected about him, and everybody does for this. He always told you the truth. He didn't say, oh, no, that was great, it was awesome, and it sucked. Because when I knew something sucked, you feel it,
right.
You know, and he was always like, no, it was bad, and this is why, and this is how you can improve. And it always helps people. So he was doing a movie with somebody in Rhode Island named David Gere, and he was a producer. So I went on to the set because he said, hey, I need you to do for my House of Hardcore show coming up next month, so just come on set and we'll sign the contracts and it'll be good. I went on set, and I remember the director and Eric Roberts were sitting in, like, these two director chairs. And Eric's like, hey, can I kill you tomorrow? And I was like, are you kidding? Or are you serious? No, okay, you're serious. What are you talking about? And they said, well, we have this spot in our movie that we'd love to put you in. And would you be interested? And I was like, okay. Wonder how it came about so easily. Come to find out, besides the fact that they all love and respect Dreamer, the director was a huge wrestling fan. So it's just crazy. Like, wrestling really does open other doors for you. And then with that came the newest movie that I have out now, which just came out on January 14th. It's Army of the Damned.
Army of the Damned.
Yes.
Is that the one where I saw the picture of you licking the bloody knife?
Yes. It was pretty crazy.
It was. And as gross as that was, I was like, that somehow was kind of hot.
I've heard that a lot.
It was weird. It was funny. It reminded me of Queen of the Damned.
Yes.
Which is very interesting that we bring up.
I used her character as an inspiration for mine.
You are such a huge Aaliyah fan.
Huge.
And her birthday was yesterday.
Yes, it was.
Now, tell us a little bit of something. What is it that you do on her birthday?
On the day of her passing and on her birthday, I play nothing but Aaliyah music. That's it.
Why did you have such a... Obsession with Aaliyah.
Well, it started when I was younger. It was just something that I remember hearing her music. I got my first Aaliyah album when I was like 7. And I just remember being so different and just so jazzy but cool. And just said, who is this girl? She's got this angelic voice. And I remember growing up, everybody's like, oh, you look like Aaliyah. And I was like, what? Who is that? And then I got the album, saw what she looked like. And I was like, oh, my God, she's amazing. And I fell in love with her, just her style, her swagger, music. And it was great. She wasn't somebody that needed to be naked to be famous. She wasn't somebody who needed a curse to be great with her music. And I love that, especially, you know, growing up. As a kid, I was like, okay, you can listen to that, you know? But she was a very big inspiration to me, especially because she was somebody very young who got into the game very early. I mean, she was 15 when her first album came out. I mean, I was 17 when I first started wrestling, and I'm still known as the baby. So it was very interesting, especially because I'm into astrology, very big. My brother was like, you know, it's odd that you are such a big Aaliyah fan because you guys, you're both Capricorns. You guys... both have younger brothers, and your dad's name is both Michael. So you guys have really strange, like,
connections.
And I'm like, oh, but I love her. I love her, and she's huge inspiration.
And you said one of your favorite songs is One in a Million.
Yes.
And since it was Aaliyah's birthday yesterday, we want to play a clip of Aaliyah's One in a Million. One in a Million. Awesome video, awesome song. Now, you have some musical talent to yourself.
I guess it's interesting.
Where did you kind of find out your when did you start, you know, developing your talents?
Which talents are we talking about?
I've heard you freestyle before.
Yes, that's a Nicki Minaj thing.
So Nicki kind of got you into it?
She did.
Could you see yourself getting into music, or is that just something you like to do, like, on the side, fun, like, music is your life, but, like, not literally?
You know what? Yeah. Music really is my life, but not to the point where I think I would do too much with it. I don't know that I would be able to. I don't know. I have been writing music. I do write, and it's kind of more Aaliyah orientated because that's easier for me to just go to.
Mm-hmm.
As of raps, I mean, somebody would have to write me some stuff, you know, because I mean, I can repeat, you know, when it comes to freestyle, like Nicki, anything Nicki, I can do it. you know, with the whole, the faces and the whole thing, you know, how she gets crazy. I love that. And she did bring that out of me. So
now, were you a little Kim fan before Nicki at all? Or was it Nicki Minaj? Like literally is like,
I was a little Kim fan. I did. I love her, but Nicki's my girl. We're both from Queens. She really, I mean, her music was the one that really pulled me in. And honestly, being a wrestler and being that my character was to be this ghetto kind of chick, I would listen to Nicki's music before I went out.
Inspiration.
Mm-hmm. Every single time before I wrestled, I listened to Nicki. I swear to God.
You know, on the beat, we had a conversation about East Coast music, hip hop versus down south hip hop versus West Coast. Mm-hmm. And we had some fans tweet in, and one fan said something really interesting about why New York hip hop has kind of died a little bit. Like, New York just is not what it is anymore. It's like, I still be listening. I put Cameron on and people be like, what the hell is this?
I think French Montana's like, really doing it, though.
True. True that. Him, Nicki.
Freaks.
I'll give him and Nicki right now. They're definitely representing.
Yes, they are.
You know, but someone came out and said that a lot of it has to do with the clubs in New York. And the police have, you know, kind of really been, you know, very strict with a lot of the clubs. So you don't really have, like, those spots where everyone used to go, where you knew you could hear all the underground hip-hop. And where down south they have the strip clubs, and people can hear the new songs in the strip clubs, because that's basically why all the number one hits are panty-drop music, because the south is what's pumping out our hits right now.
Yes, that's true.
And they're trying to make music for girls to dance to because the strip clubs are open 24 hours.
Exactly.
You're going to have everyone up in there.
That's why Rihanna's doing the same
thing. And give them to dance, yeah. And Beyonce, too. I mean, at this
point. And Beyonce, too. She's killing it. But I agree. I think that even being in New York, you have to really look for those spots where you can see even shows, just upcoming people who want to share their music and just get either feedback or whatever. It's kind of hard to find them now.
I also look at it like I feel like East Coast hip hop is very lyrical. It's not really about the beat. I mean, the beat, you know, keeps it with it, but it's more the lyrics when it comes to East Coast hip hop.
It's true.
And I feel like we're in a place where music has been so dumbed down that it's almost like when you hear the lyrics, it's kind of like, oh, this is boring. Like, I can't do this right,
right
now. Where's the bees in the trap? Where's the beat?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I think especially when it comes to just listening to the music and appreciating what they're actually, the stories that they're telling. Tupac was so great for that, but he also had a great beat to go with it. Not so much now. And, I mean, even honestly, I do love Juicy J.
Oh.
I do. I love Juicy J. But when you listen to what he's saying, you're like, what the hell are you talking about? Whatever. I don't care. You know? And people want that. They don't want to really listen anymore. And that just comes to down to society and what we've become. But, you know, people just want to hear the beats, the music. And especially, like you said, the strip clubs, that's where it's at. That's where the money is.
Would you say that Kendrick kind of came back hard and kind of woke people up? And now we're going to start to see some everything kind of be more, you know, lyric heavy?
I think so. I hope so, especially because he had a song where he just called everybody out. And he said, come on, step your game up. And I think that wasn't a maybe. I don't know if I'm wrong. Tell me if I'm wrong. But I feel like that was his way of saying, come on, let's make this music what it was.
He wasn't trying to come at anyone hard. He was just trying to get everyone riled up and like, all right, come on, you want to come at me? I'm like, that's fine. I'm not going to take it seriously.
Right.
But just come at me. That's what we're here to do.
Exactly. And Drake was kind of butthurt by it. But I mean,
poor Drake. And that's why we have certain people. And that's why tonight we're going to do the six mix. I said tonight, like it's bright and early in the fucking morning.
You have to wake me up dumb early. I didn't even get to go to the gym yet.
Girl, you ain't going to the gym at all today.
Get me some B12.
I'm going to get into the six mix. Six songs that y'all need to download off iTunes today. Let's start with number one. The Jerky Boys. I'm sorry, the Jerky Boys.
I was like,
the
whoa.
Prank calls. I'm sorry, because we were talking about the Jerky Boys.
Yes, we were.
The New Boys. They have, well, one of the artists, his name is Legacy. He has a freestyle called I Hate Asparagus. Okay. I wasn't even going to click on this song, but I was like, you have to be pretty bold to name something I hate. I used to hate asparagus.
I used to.
I used to hate asparagus. So
now
he likes
you like it. So you're promoting veggies.
So he's promoting healthy eating.
Yes, he is.
And he's changed as a man. So I want to hear the change in this man who now likes asparagus. So this is one of the songs that I think y'all should check out. It has nothing to do with asparagus, really. But check the song out. He's actually a dope lyricist. That a plagiarist, cause all these crazy people I've been lately hanging out with got me picking up their habits when I'm around it. Stuff that I wouldn't even be down with, stuff that'll make them think I need counseling. Hating what they do so they get you to do it too, because it make them feel better about themselves when they see they ain't the only ones drowning. That's why you gotta be a leader or be defeated. I keep a Nina, I don't really keep a Nina. Just always wanted to say it cause I doing freestyles when I'm playing. If I did gangster rap, I'd probably be amazing, cause I'm already better than J. Cole. All that gun punchline shit, I bet they go. But I'm real, so I gotta stick to what I know. Like 5 shots every bar, like LMFAO. Punchline lost you, I bet you feeling stupid. All right.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, J. Cole. A little jab in that one. Woo! Highly doubt J. Cole's listening to I Used to Hate Asparagus. But I think all y'all should. I mean, I keep calling him the damn jerky boys.
Jiggity China.
The new boys. I mean, big difference, because what was the new boys doing? That's on Cricket, and then can't even think of what the other one was. But whatever, that West Coast ratchetness.
Ratchet.
Let's get some lyrics in it. Next, Childish Gambino. Again, world star. This song is my world pump up star song before I go out all the time.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. How innocent.
Damn. Blow out. World star before rap. You already know that. So fresh prince. They are about to bring the show back. Listening to Kilo. We can cost a kilo. Hair so long. I'm about to bring the flow back. Phone call, gotta say mushy mushy. Girlfriend acting all mushy mushy. It's your birthday, make an earthquake. Fell in love with a nigga like a mermaid. That's the first date. Nobody think about it.
I like that.
Childish Gambino.
Ooh,
world
I like
star.
That.
Definitely recommend his album. Don't just purchase
have to
the
do
song.
That now.
Yeah. Because of the internet, Childish Gambino. Love it. Next, I wanted to put this on here, actually, because I don't know if I'm actually even a fan of it, but I wanted to have the conversation with you. It's Beyonce, Partition. Obsessed with that song. Mm-hmm. But it's remixed by Busta Rhymes and Azealia Banks.
Mm.
I like Busta Rhymes. Azealia Banks, I don't know how I feel, so take a listen.
Okay.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. That is not the next song. Excuse me. It's Shakira and Rihanna. I'm sorry. I don't know how I forgot Rihanna.
How could you forget Shakira?
Excuse me. And Shakira. I'm obsessed with Shakira. Most people are not obsessed with Shakira.
I am.
Love Shakira.
That's why I dyed my hair blonde. Hello.
Oh, the ombre.
Yes, I do.
So Shakira and Rihanna have a new song called Can't Remember to Forget You.
Huh.
And I love it. I think the song is going to be number one. I think the song is going to be played in dentist's office everywhere. Okay. The club, the dentist. We're going to be sick of this song in 3 months from now. And this is Shakira featuring Rihanna, Can't Remember to Forget You. You follow me, so where you go, I follow, follow, follow. Shakira featuring Rihanna, Can't Remember to Forget You. It's fun, spunky.
It is.
A nice little different sound to finally come into music, bring real instruments back.
The Rough Island Girls.
Yes, and Rihanna puts her little accent on too.
Does
for
she?
Her little situation. So again, we have Legacy, I Used to Hate Asparagus, the freestyle.
Yeah.
That one's actually free. I'm not even going to get that one on iTunes, so just go check that one out. Childish Gambino, World Star. But you guys are going to purchase the album because of the internet. Shakira featuring Rihanna, Can't Remember to Forget You. And then here we go. Beyonce, Partition, but it's remixed with Busta Rhymes and Azealia Banks. Go.
With it like she played for the pros.
That's right.
She gagged from her throat while she breathed through her nose.
Oh, shit.
She's starting to choke.
Uh-huh.
She curling her toes. Look how she's trying to take it all down. Come out your clothes.
That's right.
I waited for a second and I thought for a minute.
Ain't no loving good enough to give her while I'm up in.
Tell them, B.
Drive around at the partition, please. Drive around at the partition, please.
Azealia Banks.
stress, never the sex better, the sex wetter, check cheddar, et cetera, et cetera. Bet, bet you could get severed and left at it. Slept, slept in the crib, crepping this.
Beyonce, Partition, Busta Rhymes, Azalea Banks. Would you listen to it? Are you into it? You kind of see excited where it's going to go? Or?
Yes. And I think definitely because, I mean, I love Beyonce. I love the sound. It's a great song. Busta, he brings that flavor to it. You
Wait,
know?
Can I tell you what the first line is of Busta's?
What?
Busta starts the song with, yeah, my girl likes Beyonce.
Are you serious?
But me too.
Me too. That's awesome. That girl likes Beyonce.
So Azalea me Banks, too. Though, I don't know how I feel about it. I used to love Azalea Banks. And I just feel like, I don't know where it kind of fell off for me, where it's kind of like, okay, girl, every song sounds exactly the same.
Right, right. Yeah.
Like, the flow is just like, it's sick and it's dope, but it's like, play with it a little more. I don't know.
You know what?
And I'm not crazy about it on this beat.
I think that it brings a little bit of a,
to like Beyonce's
a
ratchet, song.
Yeah, like a nice
I
little, like, yes, it brings a hardness to it. So you get Beyonce with the, you know, the spiciness, Busta with the flavor, and her with the ratchet look. Like, I'm with it.
Yeah. I'm still waiting for that Lady Gaga, Beyonce, and Azalea Banks song, Ratchet.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Because that beat is everything.
Earth thing.
Earth thing. All right, next, got to bring up the East Coast. We got Jay Mills with a freestyle, Troy.
Rest in peace to the real ones. I take a sip of the Henny, then I spill some. Get prepared for your day, cause it will come. OG told me one empire, then build one. Remorse for the lames, I don't feel none. When the product come in, that's when my income. I won battles, but I lost a couple friends, young. I lost a couple to the jail cells, then some. I lost a couple to the reaper in the cemetery. The real shit is never a day, my memory blurry. Never did my nigga drop shoes, not true. He always told me nobody got you like you got you. Keep my circle tight, gotta block the intruders. Niggas play the homie role, Bobby Opportunist. Look my daughter in the eyes, said I gotta do this.
Jay Mills dropping knowledge, huh?
Word. Look at that. I like that. They reminisce over you.
Mm,
1990, that's when I was born.
I'm a baby.
I'm a baby.
all right, so the final song, I almost wanted to shoot myself in the head for putting it on here, but I have this soft spot for Far East Movement, and they have a new song called Bang It to the Curb, and I was listening to it, and I was just in my house like, I was banging on the walls, my neighbor came over, she was like, what are you doing? So here we go, Far East Movement, bang it to the curb.
Banging down a block with my Remy bottle. Reppin' 2 and 3 California Lotto. Serving all the fiends like King Taco. My cheese nacho, boss until you unfollow. Windows down a latch, just the ass crack. Nothing but the Alpine system on smash.
Hit the sash and the gas pedal, pump, pump, pass.
Fly faster than a 5-0.
Hit the turn, flip the bird, bust a bitch, make him swerve. Bang, bang into the curb.
A little Asian persuasion for you.
I like it.
It's like all their music sounds very similar, but it's just every time it comes out, I'm like,
yeah, I could see you doing
with
that.
My left hand up just like that, and I'm like, Far East Moon. All right, so let's go over this again. We had Legacy, I Used to Hate Asparagus.
Used to.
Childish Gambino, World Star. Shakira featuring Rihanna, Can't Remember to Forget You. Beyonce, Busta Rhymes, Azalea Banks, Partition Remix. Jay Mills, Troy, in Far East Movement, Bang It to the Curb.
Word.
There y'all have it. I know what Thea's going to be doing.
Yep, I'm downloading it right now.
Downloading it right now. Well, Thea, I want to thank you so much for coming in. I want to thank everybody out there for watching us. Thea, where can all of your fans and your new fans follow you?
Oh, that would be at Thea Trinidad TMT for Twitter and TheaTrinidad.com.
All right, guys, you can follow me at DJ Jesse J. Until next week, same time, same place. Peace.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Dario Kristen, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in to the Black Hollywood Live Network. If you have questions or comments, tweet us at BHL Online or email us at info@blackhollywoodlive.com. For more exclusive content, visit blackhollywoodlive.com. This has been a presentation of the Black Hollywood Live Network.
Music redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.